1 o'clock on Tuesday. It must be Tuesdays with Dave. Welcome to everybody to the call today. If you are new to the call, welcome aboard. If you're a new mastery student, you should be getting information from Jeff, who runs that program. Tomorrow. Should have gotten it already. Coach selection will have already occurred, and your password into the online learning center with over 700 hours of information is at your ready disposal. You can binge learn if you'd like to, but you're in a good spot. We'll be happy to take you to whatever goal you want to be or where you want to get to. So welcome to the call. It is a cold day here in Boston. We had spring last week. We're back to winter this week. Going to get some snow this weekend. Might be some good skiing to be had. We'll have to wait for the schedule to come out. So if you're new to the call, what this is an open line. For the next hour or so, I'm going to answer any and all questions that come along. They could be the majority of them are real estate questions. But as I like to say, you could ask me any question you like because I've got a lot of life experience. So I want to welcome the new mastery students from Fort Lauderdale. That was a great event over last weekend, so welcome aboard. A lot of international students at that particular event. I'm glad to hear that. There's a lot of international money out there looking to come into the U.S., safe harbor into U.S. real estate. We have business building April 5th and 6th. That's the one that I'm a part of and teach right here in Boston. And we also have the Commercial Training Academy, April 7th and 9th. So remember, if you're coming to business building, and probably mastery students, these are in your package. If you come to business building, if you're a gentleman, bring a jacket because I'm going to take you to the Harvard Club on the 5th for dinner. And if you're a lady, just wear something business casual. And you'll fit right in. If you have kids, feel free to bring them along to the Harvard Club. It's a great place to get some inspiration for them. But let us know that you're going to bring them so we can plan accordingly for the meals. Also, if you haven't confirmed that you're going to attend yourself and you're coming to the event, the business building, and the CTA, send the confirmation because the room only holds so many. And once we're done, we're done. So you need to confirm in there. Once we're full, we're full. Ultimate Partnering, July 28th to the 30th. Actually, there's an early bird. Most of you mastery students have that part of your package. Some may not. It all depends on how and where you may have invested in the program. But there is an early bird special that goes off and closes on Wednesday. And we've got Emmett Smith coming this year, which is going to be good. Instead of giving away a car, we brought a car. Emmett Smith, the guy's like a caboose on a train. Former running back for the Dallas Cowboys, MVP, Super Bowl winner, Dancing with the Stars winner. And I got to know Emmett when I heard about the program he was running. He's a big multifamily investor, which is exciting. He was running a program for his properties in the inner city where he created computer centers to help the underprivileged children living in his apartments get ahead and learn and be better prepared for the workforce. And it was also, he didn't realize until after he started it, it was helping the adults. And they were educating themselves, and they were getting better jobs, better paying jobs, and that was good too. So there's a whole process there. He's going to explain that. You're going to love it. You're going to put it in your own centers as well. It's a great way to give back. At the same time, it doesn't really cost you that much. The computers are donated. I did this on several of my properties. Computers are donated. The teachers that you get to teach also donate their time. You give them a little reduction of rent. Maybe there's a cost for you there, but the rewards are astounding. So that's a really good program. But Ultimate Partnering 9, July 28th to the 30th, we expect over 1,000 people there. Actually, the room only holds 1,200, so we expect to sell that out. So if you haven't gotten in or confirmed for that, you can either call Jeff at the office, Jermaine at the office, Jeannie at the office, they'll get you in. That's all part of your mastery staff. Those are the people that are servicing you guys. All right, let's do, and by the way, if you want to ask a question, just go press *0. *0 will get you in the queue. Operator will ask you your name, and we'll introduce you to the call. So let's see. We got a high five from Jose Bellman from Salinas, California. He purchased 29 units in Oakland, California. Purchase price, excuse me, hold on. Purchase price was $1.4 million. and the asking price was 1.9, so he got a $500,000 reduction. That's pretty steep. He raised $750,000 to close the deal. The value play was the management was crappy, and he could raise the rent. He will be raising the occupancy from 50% currently. Woo! Well, 29 units. It's a small repositioning. But anything you take over 50% occupancy is really 35% occupancy, you know, economically. And will dip down to about 25% before you get it back going up again. So that's Jose has taken on a challenge. And he expects to get up to 90% in the next couple of months. I didn't interview Jose on this. It'll be interesting. Jose, if you're listening, get on the line. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about this deal. And once the occupancy is raised over 90%, his cash flow is going to be $7,500 per month, net cash flow. That's a pretty sweet deal. So you take on a whole lot of risk for a big return on the back end, which is that cash flow. So that's good. I am going to – we've got some email questions from Mastery students. I'll go through a couple right now, and then if there's a break in the action, I will answer some more. First one comes from Carl Smith, spelled with a K. Must be German. From Clovis, New Mexico, he says, hey, your broker scripts talks about the number of units and areas that I'm looking to invest in, A, B, C, or D. At the immersion event, Jeff said we needed to also add the items from page 153 in the immersion training manual, like potential high-yield income streams, price range, value add. My question is, what else can I add to the script to have a broker take me seriously? Also, what is the best way to incorporate all of the great info into my existing script? Any suggestions to make the script more effective would be greatly appreciated. Well, here's the deal on the script. The way you make that script more effective is to play off what the questions you're being asked from the broker. And those the questions that you ask the broker in that script are actually questions that the broker will ask you if you give them time. So you basically ask them, you tell them who you are, what you do, what you're interested in, types of properties you're looking to buy, okay? And then from there, just kind of like lay back and let the broker start asking you some questions. And if you've been to Multifamily Millions Boot Camp, especially if you're in a mastery program, you'll be answering, you know, the majority of those questions. And if for some reason you don't know an answer, don't try to BS it. Just let them know, hey, I'll get back to you on that one. And then call your coach and ask them what the proper way to answer the question is. But if you answer a question and it's BS and the broker knows it's BS, they're not going to take you seriously. So that's why you don't do that. But how do you make that script more effective? Well, using the language that you learned at Multifamily Millions Bootcamp, you know, just the miscellaneous day-to-day terms that we use in this business that, you know, are not everyday terms, like, you know, dialing in for repair allowance, the repair allowance itself, you know. So being able to answer the questions and answering in those terms makes you more effective and just answering your questions confidently. I don't think it's a matter of incorporating. One of the mistakes you could make is actually repeating that script line by line, you know what I mean, like a robot. And I was here with, I forget what her name is, very lovely woman and her daughter, mastery student, a couple of business building events again. She said, Dave, I'm really struggling. I can't seem to get a deal, and I can't seem to I can't seem to nail down a broker relationship. And I said, all right, during the break, we'll go up to my office, and we'll do some role-playing. And she says, okay. So we come up to the office, me, her, and her daughter. And she was from New York, and she was looking to do deals in Atlanta. And I said, okay, so you're calling. I'm Mr. Broker. Ring, ring. Hi, ABC Brokerage Agency can help you. And she goes through the script, right? And she says, well, you know, I'm so-and-so from New York City, and I blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wow. First of all, she sounded like she was reading the script. You know, she had it memorized, but it sounded like she was reading it. No good. You got to put it into your own words, number one. Number two, you got to realize the dynamics of the country, you know? I mean, people from New York, I'm from Boston. You know, whenever I would do business down in the South, you know, you've got to – I never mentioned on the phone that I was from Boston unless they could figure it out from my accent. I try not to have an accent, you know, when I called them because there's just like a little bit of a disconnect between that. So I said, you know, knock off the New York part. Let them know. She was in two additional deals as an investor. So she had over 900 units or three different deals. She had over 900 units that she had invested in. No, she didn't bring the deal to the table and bring investors in, but she was an investor in the deal, and she wasn't using that. I mean, so look at the different advantages that you have, even if you haven't bought anything yet, and use those to your advantage as well. So you make that script more effective just by knowing the language. There's a great mastery. There's a great mastery recording, and it's all about when a broker asks you for proof of funds, the proof of funds, and it's all about why a broker asks you that question. Because a broker will never ask you that question if they think you're a real investor. That's the way the brokers get when you talk on the phone and you say the wrong things, then the broker's like, oh, this person, you know, I don't know who this person is. They're not saying the right thing. They probably won't close the deal. I got to get out. I'm going to ask them for proof of funds. Must be a new investor. I'm going to ask them for proof of funds. That's their way out. They never ask for proof of funds for people that they think are going to close deals. So go into the Mastery website. Go into the proof of funds recording. I'm pretty sure it's in the private money section. And just listen to it. One of our coaches, Craig Picard, does the call, and I believe Don, his partner, is on there as well. But they do the call, and they talk all about why they actually ask you for proof of funds. And within that call tells you how you need to be talking to a broker the first time, and every time after that you talk to them in order to not only not be asked for proof of funds, but also to be getting deals on a regular basis. I'm going to open it up for questions. That was a long answer to that one. So I'll do one more on direct mail. Ron Howard from Texas says, Ron Howard, is that the guy from the Happy Days? All right, how many times should I blanket the select zip code before I select another target area? You should continuously mail the same zip code, if not once every month, once every 3 months. Just continuously do it because sellers' situations change. Where have you gotten my best list from? The assessor's office, always the assessor's office. And how does one select a zip code to target the campaign? That's a little bit tougher if you're not familiar with the city. But, you know, we're always looking for the zip, you know, the areas where all the multifamilies are. So I guess you may call a broker or somebody that knows the city and just say, hey, you know, can you give me an idea of where the majority of the multifamily properties are in that particular area? All right, going to open it to questions. Operator, who is our first caller?
Okay, it seems that we did have a few people with questions, but their lines dropped. So if you do have a question, please press star zero for questions, please.
Everybody get disconnected?
No, we still have everybody on the line.
No, I mean the people that were online to ask questions were disconnected.
Exactly. Just press star zero if you have a question. Thank you.
All right. Go do star zero again. Jim Harper from San Clemente, California, writes in. He says, hey, should I be submitting offers if I currently do not have commitments for funding? Yes, but you should be getting commitments for funding this week by just going on meetup.com and finding some groups that are out there, you know, that you can just tell people what to do. That's basically it. That's how you do it. You go to groups where you think people have money or could have money. It doesn't have to be real estate investing groups or investing groups. It could be wine tastings, sushi classes, interior design, equestrian events, you know, places where people might have some money, and also business groups, of course. And just when they hit you with what do? You tell them very excitedly. And again, just like the brokers, you let them start asking you the questions after you give them the brief spiel. Do you have access to an attorney through RE Mentor? Certainly. If you're looking for SEC attorney, I'd be happy to refer the SEC attorneys that I've used successfully. Local attorneys, we'd have to be in the market. If we're in a particular market, we'd be happy to give you the local attorney and the different team members that we have on our team. So are there some questions in the queue now?
Yes, our first question comes from Mike. Mike, please go ahead.
Hi, Dave. It's Mike.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
Hi, Dave. It's Mike with Meet and My Group. Good. So I have some questions for you. I'm looking at, like, a smaller market, Medford,
yep.
Oregon.
Yep.
So the vacancy rate is actually around 2% there right now.
Yep.
And the job growth in 2014 was 2.3, 2015 was 3.1, and 2016 was 3.5%.
Ooh, nice.
So I was wondering, is the low vacancy, is that a bad thing for getting into that market?
Not if you get a value add, not if you get a nice value add type of a deal. So if you get into a property that's 90% occupancy, And that would be a good play because the market is at 98, so there's no reason, or you'd have to discover whether or not there's a reason why that property isn't at 98 like the rest of them.
Yeah, well, I think the reason why all the properties are so full is there's not very much expansion there right now.
Even better.
Real estate.
Yeah, when the supply remains the same and demand increases, that's a great sign. Is there an opportunity to build? Are people starting to build like crazy?
I talked to the economic development department actually earlier today.
Yeah.
And they said they're revisiting trying to open up areas they talked about opening up before for construction.
Revitalization zones?
I think so. They're just in talks about it right now, though.
Yeah, you want to keep abreast of that, and then you know, keep going back and find out when they make a commitment, and then when they actually break ground on something, because you want them to break ground first before you start investing your money, because a lot of times they don't. Just for the people that are listening, so how did it go when you called the Economic Development Committee? How'd they treat you?
It went really good, actually. I kind of said hi, and they just talk, and keep talking.
Yeah, they're really excited about their, most of the time, they're really excited about their city, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what's
correct.
What's going on? And also, they treat you with a lot of respect because they know that they need investors to come in order to, you know, increase values and for investments into the city as well. So just for everybody that has not called the Economic Development Committee, it might be a little bit nervous. They usually treat you real good. I remember I was...
Yeah, they gave me a couple of websites to go to, too.
Oh, to get more information?
Yeah, to get, like, a lot more information from what I got from them this morning.
Excellent. Good. So I think for that particular market, it's been growing for 3 years now. So you've got to be a little bit concerned about, you know, how much more legs it has. So I'd be asking what type of jobs are coming in and what type of service jobs are being created around them. And are there more jobs projected to come in? What additional companies are coming?
Their top three areas where they're growing is private education, health services, and construction.
Construction, that's interesting. Health services make sense. Private education is interesting.
Mm-hmm. And the guy at the Economic Development Department said they're trying to expand on the health services too.
Yeah.
The hospitals and stuff.
Is it the hub, the health center hub for the area?
I'm not positive about that.
Two of the things we look for is health center hubs and shopping hubs for a particular area, for like a particular.
He said he expects their retail growth to grow a lot too. Because they're pretty close to the border of California and Oregon. Oregon has no sales tax, so people go up from Redding, California, to go up there and buy stuff.
So what's the next step?
I think the next step for me is I'm probably going to get in contact with the realtor.
Yeah. Do a type of inventories there and get some direct mail list. Start doing some direct mail out there.
Okay.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, I thought so. I was concerned because I wasn't really sure about a smaller market.
Small market.
I didn't know.
How many people in it?
There are 80,000 people in the city of Medford, but there's 210,000 in the county.
Yeah, that's a third tier city. That's a tertiary city, but I'll tell you, I did, in the city of Brockton, which I think it's about, 150,000, that's where I really did well at the very beginning. That's what started everything.
Okay.
So good. So
sounds
yeah, next
good.
Step, start looking, start analyzing, start putting in offers, start buying.
Sounds good.
Yeah, good luck. Let us know how you're doing.
Okay, thank you.
Take care, Mike.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, who's next?
Okay, up next we have
operator.
Jose. Please go ahead. Jose is next.
Jose.
Hi, Dave. It's Jose from San Antonio. How are you, sir?
Hey, Jose. What's going on?
Good. First of all, we just came back last night from the private training in Orlando, and it was great having Bob and Kim and Jeannie. Everything was great. We learned a lot.
That was a private money event, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, our faculty is really, really good. The people that we have teaching the events now, I mean, Bob, who's also one of my partners in real estate, teaches private money. Also, the commercial training class is coming up. And
we're definitely going to be there.
Yeah, he just does a great job.
Yeah, he does. So, Dave, my question is kind of a compound question, and it's on a specific property, but it's kind of a general question. Because we're from Texas, we are looking, of course, on properties in the neighborhood, so to speak. And one market we're looking at is San Marcos, which is, you know, really... disappearing a lot within the past few years. So, but then on properties like that, we have, for example, we have one property we're interested in that it's open for offer, so they don't have a specific asking price. And the market, if, for example, the broker says that market is 6-7 cap, how do we handle that in order to be able to, you know, because those numbers will probably not make the Holy Trinity, or the numbers that will make the Holy Trinity probably are not going to be something that the seller might want. How do we handle that? That would be question A. And question B, which is associated, is if the first year returns don't make the Holy Trinity, but if you do a 5-year projection and analyze, they make the numbers, would it still be okay to go for it, even though it might not hit the Holy Trinity right away and the numbers would be considerably low on the first year?
Well, you're better off getting some experience under your belt before you do something like that, doing a value add that does cash flow the way it really needs to meet the Trinity. That's number one. Number two, you know, you're going to have a really difficult time doing a raise where the investors aren't going to get a return on their first year unless you have a really big back end, you know, and there's a big reward at the end for doing that. So
okay.
I know that from my own experience. We were just talking about a deal yesterday going in where the first year was going to be, you know, X amount, and then the years after that starts to pick up and you get a good back end IRR. And I didn't even want to do the deal. It's just so hard to raise the money for those types of deals. So I'd be very careful.
Okay.
Well, you know, if you're getting deals where the cap rates are so low, that just means that you don't have the relationships in place that are going to bring you the deals where you need them to be for the Trinity. Because investors, number one, they want to get the highest price for their client. They want to get the highest price so they get the highest commission. But also, you know, they're going to be able to close the deal as well. If you're closing deals anybody closing deals at 4, 5, and 6 caps, they're not putting 20% down. They're putting 30 to 40% down because those deals don't pencil out with 20% down. And usually, you know, they're just a little bit of yield over. You know, it's usually a larger company that's coming in and buying those deals, and they're just looking for a smaller yield. Some of them are only looking for a 6% yield sometimes on their deals. So that's who you're competing against as well. So the answer to your question is no. Don't. You know,
stay with the Holy Trinity for the first year.
Because when you do, you get in trouble. Just work hard to create those relationships that will bring you the deals. And, you know, you score 1, 2, 3 deals within that Trinity, and life is a whole lot easier instead of having to work, you know, and hope that you're going to be able to get your investors their return. You're actually not only getting their return, but, you know, you're getting more than you expected, and just a whole lot of fun. I was talking to a student the other day about one of the deals that she did. She just went out and bought a boat. She's so happy. She's been with us for about 7 years now, but she's so happy. Her and her partner, who they met at an Ultimate Partnering event, they got, like, I don't know, not identical boats, but they both got boats, and they decided where they're going to put them. And then she was just talking about how great life was. You know, this deal that they got, she doubled the return that the investors expected, you know, and Everybody was happy with that deal. There was another deal where they actually refinanced the deal and was able to pull, I think it was $4.2 million out, split between three people.
Wow.
And then just got deals that are cash flowing great. You know, she's got really no worries. Going into a correction, which, you know, we're going to correct probably in about the next, I don't know, year to 4 years, somewhere in there, there's going to be a correction. So going into the next correction, she's comfortable with all the deals. Now, when she first started out, she did a couple of difficult deals. She went outside the Trinity. She bought a deal in Memphis that she almost had to give back to the bank. You know, she was miserable for 3 years. But she bought a deal that she thought she could make work. And when you buy a deal that you think you can make work, it's not worth doing. You know what I mean? Unless you have a lot of experience and you go into these repositionings. Like the one that I mentioned right at the very beginning, the gentleman, I think his name was Jose as well, the one I gave the high five to, that was doing the 50% deal, 30 units. I mean, that's a tough deal to do right out of the gate. So we never suggest you do a repositioning deal like that at the beginning. We suggest you do three or four momentum play deals like you learn at boot camps and then start, you know, dabbling with repositionings. And you have a lot more experience. You have a lot more understanding of how things work instead of textbooks, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So on the case of, for example, this property in San Marcos that no asking price and they're waiting for the highest bidder, do we still, in conclusion, what I'm getting is we still offer what the Holy Trinity will give you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that's all you can do. And then you wait, and hopefully you're within the top five and you get a seller interview, and then, you know, usually the guy that's the top, they usually flake out somehow because they realize that they offered way more than they should have. You know, when they start doing the due diligence, they have the holy crap moment. So it's usually one or two people flake out, and you just get yourself in line. And it's great experience. It's good. Number one, you'll explain to the broker exactly how you buy, and he'll know whether or not he's going to send you deals or not because he'll know how he lists them. And if he doesn't list near where you can buy, there's no reason to do business with that particular broker. You know, there are certain brokers out there that you can do business with, and there's a lot that you can't. You just have to find the ones that you can. There's a lot of them out there that you can, but the ones that you can't are definitely in the majority. So it's a numbers game. You just ferret out the ones that you can work with, and once you get one or two of them, you're set. They set you up for life.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and see you next time.
Right. Good luck, Jose.
Thanks.
All right. Who's next on the Wisecracker line?
Okay. We have no further questions at the moment.
I am going to press star zero, get yourself in the queue. I'm going to answer another question here. This next one is from Terry and Grace Lynn. From Seattle. I currently live in one of those areas I considered a good market, but because it is good right now, real estate is extremely pricey. I know you say do the first deal in your own backyard, but what if your backyard is pricey? Then she goes on to ask a couple more questions, but first let me stop with that question, because I don't say to do your first deal in your own backyard. I say to start creating your systems or implementing the systems and creating your team in your own backyard. Because that will give you the experience when you're talking to somebody on the phone with an emerging market, you know, to give you have some hands-on experience. You've talked face-to-face with brokers. You know, you have a better understanding of the system itself and the real estate game itself just by doing that. It's so much easier to do that in your own backyard, tour properties, have lunch with brokers, meet with management companies, you know, tour neighborhoods. So that's why I say start in your own backyard. But it doesn't have to be your first deal. You can have your first deal anywhere. Okay, and next question from Terry and Grace goes on to say, do you move to another market quickly? Well, I do both. I suggest you start in your own backyard and an emerging market at the same time. And whichever deal comes first, whoever gives you the deal first, you know, that's what you do. And what are some other good markets without going across the country? All right, so good markets from Seattle. Well, Portland's a really good market right now. We know Seattle is. If you go down in California, Sacramento's a really good market. We're actually we're doing the boot camp in Sacramento this weekend, which means we'll be doing the immersion training in Sacramento. That's where you learn how to do the full due diligence process, how to analyze a deal. My brother Jeff teaches that one. It's a great event. Everybody loves it. If you're skittish on numbers at all, this will help you really understand the numbers. And if you have, if you are good with numbers, then you know this will solidify what you might already know, but even enhance that. Second day, we tour properties, so you get to see properties out in that particular marketplace. And then the third day, we do team building. So teams already built for you. If you want to use them, you don't have to use our team, but we'll show you how we created this team in this particular market. So those immersion events are great. We hold about 30 of them a year in different markets throughout the U.S., but since you are in Seattle, you might want to go down there and go to that particular event. I'm not sure if you went to your own or not, but that's a good market. What else is good there? Reno's a good market as well on that side. You know, there's a lot of smaller markets in California that are good, like Rosa, R-O-S-A, or it might be La Rosa. I can't remember. I don't have the list in front of me. The Dallas area is still good. That's on your side of the country, although down. And I'm thinking up top. There's not a lot of good markets up top. Well, Madison, Wisconsin is good if you want to go midway, halfway through. And Kansas City is, there's always a submarket in Kansas City that's doing well. It seems St. Louis, Missouri, that's kind of like halfway across the country. But if I can pull up the list while I'm on the line, I will, and I'll give you some more markets. In the meantime, I'm going to answer another question. This one is from Jeff Contanzerite from Newport Beach. I decided to choose Phoenix as an emerging market outside of Southern California for my focus. Can you recommend any specific areas in Phoenix, a metro area to focus on, such as Scottsdale, Mesa, Tempe? And what do you know of the better areas to invest? Well, Scottsdale is always the better area to invest in if you can get a deal that cash flows. It's a high-end deal. I'm really not sure of the submarkets of Phoenix right now. I used to. We did a tour out there about 6 years ago, but off the top of my head, I can't remember. And it says, what are the best or worst areas to avoid in Phoenix? There is some areas to avoid. I can't remember which ones they are. We could certainly hook you up with another Phoenix student, though, somebody that lives there. And where is Phoenix in the market cycle? I think Phoenix is it's good to be investing in right now, but I think there's quite a bit of yield that's been taking out of the market. If you've got contacts there, if you can get a couple of deals with good value add, then those will be good deals. Phoenix tends to go down and back up in much shorter cycles than a lot of other cities. So if you can get deals that cash flow well, hold them through the downturn, and then you'll see them take off again during the upturn, and you'll know the marketplace, and you'll be able to really maximize that portfolio when that happens. All right, who's next? Who's next on the list? Operator.
Okay, up next we have Roger. Roger, please go ahead.
Hi, how are you? Roger, sunny Southwest Florida.
What's up, Roger?
I'm having a hard time getting through on this thing. I don't know what something's wrong with the conference call. Anyway, what I wanted to bring up was family office. You've talked about it a few times. I recall, Dave, you said once you got majority of your money from family office. There's a family office conference April 10th in Miami.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know if you're going, if any of the guys on the call, guys or girls, are going to it. Sorry?
We're going to have a mastery field trip out there. As a matter of fact, I was just contacted from Richard Wilson's office. He's a friend of mine. He runs that conference. Those Wilson conferences are great family office events. And I have in the past done some field trips down there with mastery students. It's not part of the mastery program, but every once in a while, if I'm going to be somewhere and I think it's going to benefit everybody, then we go together. So wait for additional information from me on that. I think I can get you a discount on the tickets. It does cost to attend. It's his event. I think I can get a discount on the tickets. Well, I'll send
good.
You out, but what will happen is we will, whoever is going, we will all meet on a conference call about a week before, and I'll tell you how to prepare for that event and how to talk to the people. And then usually I might fly in and fly out same day, but if I'm in there the night before, then we'll meet the night before and we'll talk about it, or we'll meet the morning of or whenever I get there, and then we'll talk about strategies. But, yeah, I've done that two different times, and it's worked out really, really well. So we'll do that.
That's
here.
Great. I'd appreciate the discount. It's $995 for one day, and I'm actually on vacation coming in from Jamaica the night before, but I will be there for the one-day event. Thank you. Look forward to getting the code and all that stuff, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, Ceremony Mastery, if you could just hold off on that, and I will see what I can do about getting a discount from the office. But you'll be getting notification from our office about what's going to happen as well.
Appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
Yep, you're welcome. All right, who's next?
Okay. I don't have any questions at the moment.
I wonder if everybody's having a hard time getting through like Roger was. I'm going to answer another question that I have here. This one is from Zara and Carlos from L.A. We've got a lot of West Coast questions. Oh, Hector from Orlando, he's on our list. And Marcus from San Antonio's on the list. Yes? Oh, operator. Jeff just walked in and said Star Zero is not working. People are trying to get in. They can't. And they're texting him. His email's blowing up. People can't get in.
Okay,
so
I will look into
that. If you set that line, that would be good. All right. So here's the question from Zaira and Carlos. And they write in and say, by the way, has anybody ever watched Long Beach Medium? She was on last night. Very interesting. As I digress, should we create our own LLC to run our business and later create independent LLCs for each person? Yeah. What you do is you create an LLC. I call it the Umbrella LLC, where you buy things out of. Mine's called the Lindahl Group. So I go out and I put something in the contract under the Lindahl Group. And then when due diligence checks out, I open up the LLC that's actually going to house the entity, house the property. Number two, we want to create an image of formal business people. In that regard, should we get a website? We have no idea what to put on it. Business emails, business cards to use as marketing tools, or should we just create personal cards with our basic information? No, create a company name, create a business card. A website would be a good idea. There's a lot of people that have templates out there for websites. You know, just basically the website says who you are and what to do. You should probably, if you're going to be raising money, you definitely want to have a slide deck for raising money, and that can be online as well. That can be on, inside of your website. But don't do a general solicitation. Don't try to send people to your website to solicit money if you don't know them prior to. But yeah, go to professional events and you know dress business casual and go out there and start doing business, people. So if you want to create a formal image of a business person, just simply act. You know, act. And what was that? Operators, are there questions on the line? I don't know if everybody else heard that, but questions on the line, operator? Does that get fixed?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
I have actually somebody looked at that. Our question comes
okay,
from Eric. Eric, please
hey,
go ahead.
Hey, wait a minute. Operator, wait a minute. Now your line is like breaking up.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Is it? Are you?
Yeah, you are, but the caller isn't. Who's
can you hear me?
Okay,
yep.
We.
Yep, go ahead.
Hello?
Eric, please go ahead.
Dave, how you doing?
Oh.
This is Eric from Philly.
Hey, Eric, what's up? You go
how
to
you
that
doing?
Marketplace over there and get those donuts that those Dutch ladies make?
Oh, down at the Reading Terminals.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the Reading Terminal Market is a great place.
Oh, my God, those are the best donuts ever. But you know what I found out? It was heartbreaking. They don't make
what's
donuts
that?
On Sunday. They don't make donuts
yeah,
on Sunday.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, they don't. They don't.
What's up with that?
If you go there on Sunday, you're going to be disappointed.
I was. I learned that lesson the hard way. So what's going on?
So everything's been great. We went to the, my partner, Luigi and I, went to the Philly boot camp, and then we went to the immersion training and learned a ton of stuff, a wealth of information. And everything's been great so far, and we've really just jumped right in, kind of feet first, and made relationships with a ton of brokers that are sending us things, and put LOIs out. Not quite a number of them that didn't turn out into anything because the owners are asking too much money, and they you know how it goes. So, but we did land two deals. Accepted LOIs, and we signed an agreement of sale for both of those yesterday. My concern problem, if I have one, is they're smaller deals. I've talked to a few sponsors, and And most everybody wants to do deals at 100 units, at 100 doors or more. And these two deals are, you know, in 23 units apiece. So I'm having a hard time finding a sponsor that wants to help us get these deals done. So I want to know what your thoughts are on, you know, what to do. I mean, just about everybody I've talked to said 100 doors or more, you know, come back and talk to me.
Is that within our sponsorship program?
Yeah.
Have you talked to Jeannie about this?
I did, yep.
Okay.
So she gave me a whole bunch of people to talk to, so I'm just looking for your guidance, and she's been great. Jeannie is wonderful.
Yeah.
She's been absolutely fantastic.
I would go back to her and just and explain to her what's happening. There's another resource down there, I believe. It's in D.C. I believe we have another resource that is a that runs a real estate investment club down there as well. And,
oh, really? Okay, that would probably be a good person to know.
Yeah, Jeannie could reach out to them, and you know, they could be a resource as well, possible resource for a while, or maybe even a partner if they went through our program.
Is that, you think, the typical trend where people get to, where they're looking for, is it not something we should focus on then in the, you know, 20, 30, 40 unit, 50 unit deals? Do you think we should focus our time more on the 100 unit and above?
That's typically within our program, that's typically what the sponsors want, because they've been through, you know, they started out as students as well, and they've been through the smaller deals against the bigger deals. They realize how easier it is to do the bigger deals. So that's
right.
And how much more money you make. That's why and it's the same amount of effort, and that's why they want to do the bigger deal.
Sure, sure. These just happen to come across us, and they cash flow tremendous. There's about a 40% carve out for us, 30 to 40% carve out, and they both cash flow very, very well. And you know, the opportunity is there to make money, but obviously it's on a smaller scale. So. We thought we'd jump into something manageable in our backyard, but it's turning out to be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. So there's another student I'm thinking of that's from that area that started with us a long time ago, and I haven't talked to him in a long time. But I'm gonna. Jeannie's got like the mind of a steel trap. I'm gonna ask her.
I know she's every time I call her, she rattles off a few more names. Which is great. I just wanted to pick your brain if you thought it wasn't worth our we should kind of cut bait and not bother with the.
No, I would work it out. It's a great way to get started. You know, a couple of smaller deals, get them under your belt. They are much harder to run than the larger ones, but you get them under your belt, you go through the process, and then you understand the process, and it makes it easy to do those bigger deals. No, I wouldn't give these deals, especially if they cash flow well. I would, you know. We'll help you out as much as we can to try to get you somebody in that will step in and be a sponsor so you can get the deal done. But, yeah, keep going.
Cool. I appreciate it. Thanks for, you know, the program has really been really great for us. It's definitely, we learned quite a bit and appreciate it. Appreciate all the help.
I appreciate the you saying that. And go on the Internet, too, for those people that write nasty stuff that isn't true in response. That would be appreciated as well.
Sure.
It's just crazy.
Thank you. So I'll get in touch with Jeannie then again. You're going to get back and get with her then, I guess, on the person you're thinking about?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll talk to her after this call.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. All right. Who is who's next? I just remembered that guy's first name.
Okay. Dave, we have no questions at the moment.
All right. So apparently we're having technical difficulties with the line. The questions aren't coming through. I'm assuming that they're working on it. Jeff's been getting emails stating that people are pressing *0, but it's not working. I'm going to go through some more questions here. Justin from Seattle writes in, hey, if I don't have a credibility kit, what's the best way to get around it? Can I use an investor's credibility kit or my coach's? Well, you know what to do, Justin, is go you're part of – I'm assuming you're part of the mastery program. Go into the private money home study system that you got for being part of the program, and there's a credibility kit in there where you can fill in the blank. Hold on a second. Here comes a news flash from Jermaine. What's this? Oh, okay. Here comes a question that was emailed over for someone that couldn't get through. let me just finish up that last one. So from Justin in Seattle, if you go to the private money home study system, and there was a fill-in-the-blank type of a credibility kit, and go to the Mastery website, the private money section, I actually critique somebody's slide deck, their private money slide deck, their credibility kit, and I critique it. So, I mean, you can take a lot of good stuff from that as well and understand how to build a good one. All right, let's see. Tim Brunson from Becco Investment Properties writes in, said, in a highly competitive area like the Southeast, the cap rates are between 5 and 6.5. What are some of the strategies to be more competitive in these areas? Maybe a better way to analyze the deal or a better way to structure the deal. That, you know, that was brought up earlier in the call, same type of a question. You really can't go outside. You know, in these markets that are tightening up, you really can't go outside of the Trinity. It's just one of these things where it's going to be dependent upon the quality of your relationships. Good relationships are going to get you good deals. You know, if you're out there taking on what's on LoopNet, taking on what the brokers, you know, have left over from what they've shown their other top people, you know, people that have better relationships with them, then you're going to be struggling with deals that are cap rates at 5 and 6.5%. You know, there's Seattle's a, this question is about the Southeast, but Seattle's a good example. You know, that market is screaming right now. The cap rates are low, and yet we had a student do a deal, about 32-unit deal, and this one, it was a quasi repositioning. It was cash flowing. It was 90+% occupied, but yet everything, all of the units could be upgraded to, from 2,000 to 5,000 per unit. And in doing that, they increase their cash flow ridiculously, and they get quite a bit of equity out of the deal. So, and a broker brought that deal to the student. So it's all about your relationships. That's really what it's all about. It's not about adjusting the Trinity. It's about adjusting your relationships, spending more time with people, finding out what the commonality you have with them, you know, sending them things that reflect that commonality. And before you know it, you'll start getting deals coming in. In direct mail. Direct mail gets you motivated sellers. You're going to get a lot of tire kickers. You're going to get a lot of other snooty investors. But who cares? You're going to get some people that need to sell a property for one reason or another. I was just in Boston looking at places on Beacon Hill. This big brownstone, four stories, a rare single-family property there. And it was an open house. I happened to be in the neighborhood having lunch, and I saw the open house, so I decided to walk in. So I'm walking in, I'm checking it all out, and I was talking to the I thought he was the broker, but he turned out he was the builder. And he said, yep. He says, you know, we just finished up this property. We've been working on it for about a year now. I says, oh, wow. I said, so this was – nobody cut this up into apartments, huh? He said, no. He says, actually, a 92-year-old lady lived here, and we ended up buying it from her. Like, wow. So it's – you know, and that was through a direct mail piece. So he got this great deal in a brownstone in Beacon Hill, one of the richest places in Boston, through direct mail. So direct mail works. And broker relationships. All right, I'm going to operate. You can interrupt me anytime if you have a question come in. I'm just going to keep answering questions.
I sure will. Okay, thank you.
Can I do a lowball offer and how to make it possible? That's a hard question. Can you do lowball offer? Sure. As a matter of fact, you know, as we teach at the boot camp, Multifamily Millions, when you're writing offers, you should be writing offers 2 a week. When you're running your offers, you're basically getting deals from LoopNet, unless you're getting deals from brokers as well. But, I mean, when you're starting out, you analyze deals on LoopNet. Most of those deals don't work. You know, you do it based on the Trinity. You call the broker, and you basically go through a script that goes something like this. It's in your manual, but it goes something like this. Mr. Broker, I saw your listing on LoopNet, and I'm really interested in the property. But I'm a conservative investor, and when I do the numbers, the numbers just, you know, just aren't penciling out. Typically, I need to get a 10% cash on cash return. We say 10, you really need 12 with the Trinity, but you know, we don't want to. Another question coming in. Someone listening, I can't get through. Thanks, Jermaine. So, then you go on to say, you know, I typically get a 10% cash on cash return. Like I said, it needs to be 12 for the Trinity, but we don't want to go too low, you know, and scare the people off. So we'll say 10, knowing that we need a value add or need to get a 12. So I need to get a 10% cash on cash return. And when I do the numbers on this deal, it really doesn't pencil out. And the last thing I want to do is ruin our relationship right at the very beginning by sending in a lowball offer that insults either you or the seller. So I'm wondering, should I present this offer or should I wait for your next good deal? So, you know, there's a number of things inside of that little script there that forwards along a relationship, you know. It's and explains who you are. I'm a conservative investor. I look to get 10% cash on cash return. You know, when I pencil out the numbers, I mean, that's a term that you use when you're – that's one of the, you know, the terms you use in multifamily investing. You know, when I pencil out the numbers, it doesn't seem to work, and the last thing I want to do is you know, ruin our relationship right at the very beginning. So I'm telling him right there that we're in a relationship. You know, him or her, we're in a relationship. We're in a relationship. I'm talking to you. So the last thing I want to do is ruin our relationship just as we're starting it. You know, or, so I'm asking you, should I present this offer or should I wait for your next good deal? So you're future pacing them, saying, hey, give me, you know, I'll wait for your next good deal type of a thing. So that's how you do lowball offers. You don't shotgun a bunch of lowball offers. You just, you use lowball offers as an opportunity to create a relationship with a broker, because any broker that has a listing out there usually has one that they're working on now that's not on the marketplace or maybe even a pocket listing right now. So. And as you know, move forward, and who knows what's going to happen next? They may say, oh, you know, present the offer. I told the seller they're crazy anyways. You know, and they present it, and then you're going to get a counter, or maybe you won't get a counter. There's a lot of different things that could happen. Like 1,000 different things could happen after you put in that offer. that's what getting that experience, it makes it so great, you know. Nothing happens in this business until you get an offer. That's why your homework is always to put in two offers every week. So you get that experience. It's different every time. You know, the broker might say, oh, no, I told that seller he's going to get, you know, he's going to get that price, and I don't want him sending that offer. Say, okay, I totally understand that. You know, what is this the way you analyze all your deals? Is this seller a little bit different? You know, do you have deals that have that my type of return? And you continue your relationship, and then if it looks like, you know, you can do business, then you switch over to, you know, hey, you know, one thing I like to do is I kind of like to get to know the people I do business with personally, and I don't want to get too personal with you, but I was just wondering what your hobbies are. What do you like to do on the weekends? And then, you know, if they say they'd like to do something that you'd like to do, it's like, ooh, bingo, yes. And if they don't, say, wow, that's really interesting. You know, maybe ask a couple more questions about what else do you like to do? You know, and then, boom, maybe you'll hit them. But I promise you, by the third time, they will say something that you have in common with them. Very rarely does it ever go beyond, you know, what else do you like to do three times. And if it does, then you switch over to family because everybody has family. And and so that's what you have in common. All right, so Bert Gonzalez from the Fort Lauderdale Boot Camp last weekend, he writes in, he says, O is not working. We get that. Star Zero is not working. Making the right impression on brokers and investors is a big part of the strategy. What titles are recommended for business cards? I don't want to use the title that would give me away as a Lindahl student at first glance. Recommendations? I don't think there's a particular title that will give you away as a student, but typically, you know, you choose the name of your – I like to say you choose your name of your business wisely, you know, and then below it, I always put principal. Principal meaning you're an owner. A principal, you know, you're a decision maker. That's what the word principal means. So just put your name in principal. You can put chief executive officer if you want, but principal is very common. No, there's nothing that would give you away as a student. But, you know, I used to say that choose your name wisely, you know, have it portray confidence and all that. And one of our successful mastery students and somebody that I partnered with on a couple of different deals, Bob Bowman, who just recently taught the Commercial Training Academy, I mean the Private Money Boot Camp last weekend, the name of his company is Radical Investments. Radical Investments. I was like, holy crap, the first time he came up on stage, you know, when he was first starting out, and he was talking about, he had raised, his claim to fame was he'd gone to private money before he went to multifamily millions and ended up raising $2 million before he had gone to multifamily millions boot camp, and he didn't know how to spend it. He didn't know how, you know, he didn't know how to get into a good deal properly. And fortunately, he was part of this program, and he went onto the Mastery website, and he was able to, as soon as you go onto that form and say, hey, I got $2 million and I need to find a deal, people come out of the woodwork with deals. So he was able to get into a good 90-unit deal over in Florida. But Radical Investments was the name of his company. You know, who knows? When we do deals together, we call it Lindman, but we don't use Radical, that's for sure. So that's the scoop there. All right. Let me see. I got another question from Kimberly from Orlando. Kimberly writes in, there's one property that has no list price, but they just called a trade-in price. What does that mean? How to deal with it? I've never heard the term trade-in price, so I'm not sure. I can only assume that it is an auction type of a deal where, you know, highest and best offers. You know, they usually have a date where you put in your best offer, and hopefully you're in the top five. When you're in the top five or top three, you get a an interview with a seller and the seller's broker. And then depending on how well you do in that interview, they'll decide who they're going to give that deal to. I can tell you this. It goes to – first there's the highest and best offer, all right, and there's a date for it. And then the next step is, okay, you know, they got their offers. You're one of the top five or you're one of this, and if you'd like to make any changes prior to the seller's call, now would be the time to do it. So then they usually go up a little bit. And then you get to the seller's call, right, and you have the seller's call. And then after the seller's call, the broker will call you up and say, hey, look, you know, the seller really likes you, but if there's any way you could pencil in more in that deal, it would be in your favor. So they up you two different times after that. And if your numbers don't work by going up any higher, don't be lured in by that. It's a it just happens, and you know, every time you have those seller calls, it's like the MO of the brokers, of course, to get the highest price for the seller that they can. You know, stick to your guns. You can't, remember, you have a ceiling. It's Trinity. Don't go higher than it. All right, I'm going to answer one more question. I apologize for the technical difficulties on the call today. For some reason the star zero didn't work. Pardon?
Dave, I'm so sorry to interrupt. We have a live question. Do you want to take
okay.
that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, up next we have Chuck. Chuck, please go ahead.
Hey, Chuck.
Good morning. Good morning, Dave. This is Chuck from the left coast, and yes, I am alive.
What's going on?
Hey, we have got a property under contract.
Yeah.
It is a 26 unit, 1.250. I got a cap of 8.92
mm-hmm.
with a 4.5% interest loan. Cash on cash is 10.03. DCR is 1.96. What do you think?
Sounds good. Well, the numbers work. I don't know the property.
Oh,
I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's in a war zone or a good area. I don't know anything about the demographics. No, the
it's according to the broker, it's the broker and the management company that I had interviewed with your questions. This is like a C plus B minus area and building and complex. It's a 26
yeah,
unit.
What's holding you back?
Go ahead.
What's holding you back?
Sponsors and somebody to put their name on the loan.
All right. So, similar situation. The other gentleman that called in, and you know what? You're on the left coast. He's on the right coast. Why don't we do this? If there's anybody out there
mm-hmm.
listening that is interested in doing either one of these two deals with these gentlemen. You can call over to or email over to Jermaine at the office, and he. What's your name? So Jermaine knows. Is Chuck from where? Is it Charles?
Yeah, from San Jose.
All right, so Charles from San Jose, and
yep.
Jermaine can look you up. The gentleman from Philadelphia. If you just email over to Jermaine and give him your name. And if anybody's interested in doing either one of these deals, both of these deals, or want to talk to these gentlemen about it. Then you can email Jermaine as well. That is, Jermaine, I don't know what your email is. I know Jeff's is. Jeff's is easy. JLindahl@irementor.com. Let me look at my Gmail account here. Let me get Jermaine's email. It's Jermaine with a J. Okay. So Jermaine's email is J Evans, E-V-A-N-S. J as in Jermaine, jevans@irementor.com. So Chuck, email over Jermaine, let him know who you are. The gentleman from Philadelphia,
okay.
Email us, Jermaine, let him know who you are. And if anybody's interested in doing one, both of these deals inside of our family here, email those guys, and we'll give you the contact information. You guys can talk it out. Sound good?
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Dave. You have a great day.
Hey, you're welcome. You too. All right, so we're at the top of the hour. I've got to go into another meeting. Homework, go out there and get yourself into two networking situations to raise money. Get yourself into two offer situations because nothing happens until you offer. That's what we call two and two. If you simply do two and two, you cannot help but be successful in this business. Good. If you're not working hard, work harder. If you're working hard, good, because you know nothing in life is easy. You don't have to work extremely hard to get a good business, but it takes work. You know, it takes dedication, it takes determination, it takes a little bit every day. If you're willing to do a little bit every day, after a month, you will be surprised at how far you progress. So just be committed to doing a little bit and do it. And I'll see you in about 2 weeks on the next call, and next week I believe it's Dutch Grilled Genius. So all right, everybody, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.